The relationship I have with myself is largely determined by the relationships I have with myself. Well, now that's interesting. Let's try that again. The relationship I have with the world is largely determined by the relationships I have with myself. Now, isn't that fascinating? That's a lot more intelligent. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Instant Illumination. The relationship I have with the world is largely determined by the relationships I have with myself. I've just returned from a 11-day sojourn in the East, speaking to churches and groups there, and just having a wonderful time counseling with a lot of people, and having some beautiful results. And as I told these people, I don't really care what their problems are. I'm happy that they have problems because then they come to me. But I tell them, what I do care about is, what solution do you want? I mean, you know, what difference does it make to me if people have problems in the world? It doesn't make any difference to the world if I have problems. The world wants to know, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What solution do you want to put in motion about your problem? Rex lifted up his head on that and he says, lay back and take a long winter's nap. And Rex, you're so right. How do we handle that? People come to me and they say, Dr. Byerly, I've got this problem, I got that problem. I say, good. They say, are you stupid? I say, no, no. You came to me to tell me that you had problems because they are what you wanted. Now, and you want me to know about it, and you want me to bless you with your problems. No. Well, what do you want me to do? I want you to help me see my way through them to a solution. Hey, what solution do you want? Well, I know it can never happen, but I'd like to be whole and perfect. Well, you want to be whole and perfect? What do you mean you know it can never happen? That's what you've been experiencing, is never being happening. How about making a change? I had one young man who was telling me about his world, and he said that his girlfriend's having problems. His girlfriend's got this, his girlfriend's got that. And I said, well, that's nice. I said, what do you want to do about it? He said, well, what can be done? You know, it's just the way she is. And I said, have you ever had other girlfriends that had problems too? All my girlfriends have problems. And what about your mom? Yep. All the women in my world just got lots of problems. What about the men in your world? Your friends? Do they have problems too? I don't remember. Well, why is it just the women have problems? You have created the women to be a reflection of yourself, the problems that you have inside yourself, and the other friends that you have, the men friends that you have, they're not going to fall for it. They've been there, done that, and they're not going to fall for your problems. They got all sorts of experiences of their own, so they don't accept that. And they won't accept falling for your problem. And so, as they're not falling for your problem, what are they doing? They're thinking their own thoughts, right? And as they think their own thoughts, what kind of results are they getting? Most of them, if they have girlfriends that are sick all the time, they dump them and go look for girls that are well. Not that they're against the girls who are sick or something, but hey, why have a problem right away when your relationship starts? So, the relationship I have with the world is largely determined by the relationship I have with myself. Now, what relationship do you have with yourself? I spoke to one church in Brooklyn, and the church was just packed with very, very dynamic and interesting people. And I told them, I have a problem. And they looked at me, much as to say, you're not coming here to tell us your problems, are you? And I said, I have a problem that every time I look out at this congregation, I see blazing light. I see every one of you with your charisma, your aura, your vibration, just ablaze and aglow. You're fantastic. I said, but I have to be careful. I have to be real careful because you're my reflection. If I ever looked out and didn't see that blazing light, I better look back inside of myself and see what's going on that's wrong. We are the creators of our world. Everything we have in our world, no matter what it is, we created. The other day, Ingeborg was working in the garden and she fell face forward, plunch, right on the ground, and bruised up her face something ghastly. She looks just like Frankenstein warmed over. And so she said, oh, you know, that's just what it is. Well, why did you do that to yourself? Why did you want to have that bad experience? Why did you want people to feel sorry for you when they look at you? I mean, because most people would look at you and feel very sorry for you because you look terrible. Now, is this what you want to do? So, and if the answer is no, then immediately clear it up. Immediately say, all the blood vessels in my face are in normal operation. My face looks as beautiful as I always do. Can you say that? As beautiful as I always do. And that is what you want. Now, if you don't want that, and you want to keep on looking like Dracula, Frankenstein or whatever, then, hey, I don't want you in my world. I'm not even going to look at you. Because if you're my reflection, and I look at that, and that's my reflection, I say, my goodness, I need a face job. I need some work done. But no, you see, we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. We do it to ourselves. Now, when Ingeborg looks out of her eyes, and she looks at me, and she sees this perfect person, and she says, yeah, that's me. She looks at Sylvia, and she sees her radiant skin, and she says, oh, that's me. And she looks at Ellen, and she sees her crinkly smile, always beaming away. You know, well, you do. You see, you crinkle when you smile. You know that. And they say it's age lines. That's laugh lines. You know? Somebody's laughing all the time, happy. And so Ingeborg wants a little bit of each. And she says, that's a nice combination. So she's a good creator there. Now, let her be a good manifester. Have this brought forth into her world just like click, 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 just like clockwork. You see, the relationship I have with the world is determined by the relationship I have with myself. So what relationship do I have with myself? People come to me many times with problems, and they say, oh, Dr. Barley, help me, can you help me, can you help me? And I said, sure. What do you want help doing? Well, I don't want this problem that I have. Well, what do you want? Well, every time I talk to somebody, they don't like to talk to me. Every time I go someplace, people don't want to have me around. Every time I... Now, are you telling me what you want to experience, or are you telling me what you've been experiencing? Well, that's what I've been experiencing. I don't care what you've been experiencing. I do not need to know one little tiny bit of what your problem is. I do not need to know why you have the problem that nobody likes you. I don't need to know why you have the problem that people think that you're just a rattlesnake and that people can't trust you and people don't want you around. I don't need to know that at all. I need to know how to put the car in forward gear instead of in backward gear where you have been having it. You move the gear this way to put it forward. Don't think about the backward. You move it forward, and then you'll go forward, and you will be accomplishing the goal that you have in mind. However, if you're constantly grabbing the gear shift and holding on for dear life and pulling it back, you're going to go backwards. That's the way the gear goes. Now, if you're going to lean in there and push it forward and move forward, you go forward. Now, why are you leaning back? Why are you pulling against the gear shift? Who cares? Stop it. Stop it. Start pushing. Start pushing. And when you start pushing, you will get great results. And that's all that it takes. Not remembering the past, not remembering the problem, not discussing the problem, you be that experience of love and peace and harmony and goodness and push it forward. Move forward toward your desire, your goal, toward your reality. Now, there were some little kids at the church, and they were always coming over and wanting to be near me. And they said, what are you, the little spots on your head? I said, that's me. And they said, how come you have a beard? That's because I like a beard. Can I touch it? Sure. So I grabbed my beard and nothing much to pull, but they pulled. They said, I like you. And I said, but I like you too. You're a super girl. You're a super guy. And they said, how come you don't come here more often? You know, you're nice. I like you here. And they went on like that. And I didn't ask them to. I just was me. So later, we were at a restaurant, and the grandmother says to me, how come those kids like you so much? And I said, well, if you really want to know, if you really want to know, it's not a nice answer. They like me so much because I like me. I like me. I enjoy my company. I'm not putting on any act for anybody else. I'm not trying to pretend to be something for anybody. I'm just being me. And they recognize that integrity. They recognize that honesty, just like they are. They don't put a show on for anybody unless they have to. Go give Auntie Tilly a kiss, you know. Oh, Mom, her breath smells, you know. And Mom says, I didn't really realize that. And she goes over to Auntie Tilly and gives her a little snick on the nose. And she, yeah, her breath does smell. That's not very inviting for kisses, you know. But Mama didn't know that. And she was trying to push the kids into doing things. It's like Herbert Marty, you know, wanting his kid to go out with his friends, his former friends at least. And the kid says, no, Dad, I don't want them. Why not? They're on drugs and I don't want to go on drugs. Oh, you know, we wake up. We don't know that Aunt Tilly has a bad breath, and we're trying to force our kids to kiss somebody with bad breath, and you know, and but Mommy could say, you go over and give Aunt Tilly a kiss right on the cheek, or right on the ear, you know, or right on the neck, and say, I love you, Aunt Tilly. Not on the mouth, then you don't have to smell the bad breath, you know. But there's always a way to accomplish these wonderful gifts and these wonderful good. Now, what's going to happen when Aunt Tilly starts liking herself? She'll have wonderful breath. Mm-hmm. You know? When you don't like yourself, you have bad breath. Oh, I went into this one church. And I went in the downstairs of the church, and it was nice. Beautiful. Everything was clear and crystal. I was talking to people, having a great time. And I walked up the stairway into the upper area where the chapel is, the cathedral is, and I thought, what's wrong with my eyes? There was a mist everywhere. Everywhere I looked, there was a mist. Well, they were using incense throughout the church, and I could not see clearly. And I saw all this mist, and I thought, maybe that's a symbology there. They have the mist so that people don't see clearly. And if they don't see clearly, they don't grow. They don't grow spiritually. How interesting. What is your relationship to your world? It's exactly what you have to yourself. And if your relationship to yourself is pretty bad, you can be sure your relationship to the world is going to be pretty bad. If your relationship to your world is rotten and nobody likes you and nobody wants to be around you, and why, what have I done wrong? That's what you don't like yourself. Now, why should somebody else like you if you don't like you, you know? Why should somebody think I'm the greatest guy in the world if I don't? It's wonderful. I talked to a young man, and as we talked, he asked a lot of questions. And I wasn't about to knock down his way of looking at things or his direction or aim. And in the process of not knocking it down, I found out he wanted to think beyond the level that I was thinking he wanted to think. I thought he wanted to think on the relative. He wanted to think on the absolute. And I thought, I've been misjudging the guy. I've been thinking, you know, he's being too flamboyant with his direction and goal. And that was just what he needed for the absolute. And so we ended up talking on absolute principle. And he said, wow. All my studies now make sense, you know. And that's true. Not because I told him anything, but because I told him, because we talked and he was able to see in himself that he had good principles. And I mentioned that to him too. I said, you have sound principles on which you based your thinking. You haven't just gone off half-cocked on these things. Like, a lot of people say, well, I'm a Catholic, and I'm going to watch the death of the Pope and the birth of the new Pope. You're not a Catholic when you do that. You're the stupidest Catholic in the world when you do that. When you're a Catholic, you live what the Catholic Church teaches. You don't go for the drama and for the magic of their stories of the investing of the new Pope. He's going to be there. The Pope doesn't make the Church. The Church is. The Pope merely directs its activities. And a lot of times we worship Jesus. We worship the Pope. We worship the leaders of various churches. And we miss the teaching. And the teaching is what the Church is all about. It's what the Church is trying to give to us, this great gift of love and appreciation. And one man, we hired him to do some work for us, and he said he couldn't come that day because the death of the Pope. And so we corrected him. We said, the death of the Pope? No. It's for the, you know, connection. For the investment. He's being invested with that role. And he didn't even know what he's watching. You know what I mean? He didn't even know what he was watching. And I would like to think that people who follow a faith have a good person inside of them first, themselves. And then they follow whatever faith they want to follow. But if you don't have a good person inside of yourself, you can follow the devil and mess it up. You know? You can follow an angel and mess it up. You can follow anything and mess it up. If you don't believe in yourself, love yourself, and have a good relationship to yourself, you will not have a good relationship to the world or anything else. Think on these things. They're pretty tough, but they're fun. And, you know, that just goes back to our one statement again. What does the University of Healing teach? Be yourself and have fun. And people say, oh my God, that's a license. It's not license. It's license, yes, to be yourself and have fun. But yourself is good. And the type of things that you think are fun are good. They're beautiful things for the world. They're beneficial things for the world. They're not things that are naughty. I mean, naughty is not nice. And that's not what it's all about. Well, think on these things, enjoy these things, and remember that you're the only one that makes your world come alive if you like yourself. And if you don't like yourself, you kill your world. And you might as well dig a hole and jump in and pull the dirt in after you. Because you're going nowhere fast. Like yourself. Love yourself. Enjoy yourself. Be yourself. And have fun. If you got a problem, I don't know you. If you got a solution, I'm right there working with you to accomplish whatever is the dream of your heart. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you. Love you.